A congressional hearing on white nationalism became an unexpected flashpoint. Standing before lawmakers and cameras, one voice cut through decades of political assumption with a single devastating question. What have Black Americans actually received in return for their unwavering loyalty to the Democratic Party? The question didn't just challenge a voting pattern, it detonated beneath an entire political relationship. Within days, the book posing this question hit number one on Amazon, outselling works by Michelle Obama and Ta-Nehisi Coates. Polls showed Trump's approval among Black voters climbing to 30%, far exceeding his actual vote share. Something was shifting. The question wasn't whether you agreed with the answer, it was whether you had the courage to ask it in the first place. In 1870, newly freed Black Americans overwhelmingly supported Republicans, the party of Lincoln, electing the first Black senator and 15 congressmen within 7 years. The Compromise of 1877 removed Union troops, leaving Black communities vulnerable to Jim Crow and KKK terrorism. By the Great Depression, FDR's programs shifted allegiances. In 1936, 71% of Black voters supported Democrats, a complete reversal in 60 years. LBJ's Civil Rights Act cemented this relationship. Yet despite this faithful political marriage, Black America has made little progress closing achievement gaps since 1968. Unemployment rates, home ownership disparities, and incarceration rates have actually worsened. The pattern emerges. Democrats establish their bases by highlighting minority struggles while offering little remedy, creating an endless cycle of voting for change while refusing to change how we vote. Born in 1941 on a North Carolina sharecropping farm, a 5-year-old boy shouldered adult responsibilities as one of 12 children. Democrat Ku Klux Klansmen shot through their windows at night while his father fired back. Decades later, he speaks of these experiences with pride rather than bitterness, calling the Klansmen boys, a powerful degradation of their legacy. His conservative values weren't shaped by privilege, but by survival. As he says, in times of true injustice, no one debates gender pronouns and microaggressions. His granddaughter learned that victimhood and survival are not the same thing. When she received horrific racist voicemails in 2007, including threats from the 14-year-old son of her city's mayor, the NAACP protested the delayed investigation but never spoke with her personally. After arrests were made, everyone disappeared, leaving her with unwanted notoriety. This pattern of exploiting victims for political agendas soured her perspective early. What she thought was freedom became bondage, a victim mentality that abandoned personal responsibility. Black families were more intact during slavery and segregation than today. In 1963, 72% of non-white families had married parents. By 2017, only 27% remained intact, a 45% drop. The welfare state attacked the Black family by making benefits contingent on the absence of able-bodied males, effectively paying women to remain single mothers. Despite his racist history opposing civil rights legislation, President Lyndon B. Johnson is celebrated for signing the Civil Rights Act of 1964. His Great Society initiatives created generations of fatherless homes, leading to increased crime, poverty, and government dependency. Despite costing over $1 trillion annually, welfare has shown no empirical success. Even Barack Obama acknowledged that children without fathers are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and 20 times more likely to end up in prison. The abortion industry compounds this devastation. By 2016, Black women had the highest abortion ratio, 401 per 1,000 live births versus 109 for white women. Despite being 13% of the female population, Black women account for nearly 40% of all abortions. Research shows 79% of abortion facilities are within walking distance of Black or Hispanic neighborhoods. Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood's founder, led the Negro Project from 1939 to 1942 while privately supporting sterilization for the feeble-minded. Black high school students face a crisis. 2019 ACT data shows only 32% of Black graduates were college-ready in English, with reading 20%, math 12%, and science 11% even lower. Underserved Black students fared worse. Just 9% met three or more benchmarks, and only 2% achieved STEM benchmarks. Despite public education's failure, the left convinces Black families it's their only option. The deeper problem, schools teach white privilege and inherent Black oppression instead of personal responsibility. Curricula blame slavery and civil rights struggles for every current problem, eliminating accountability. Black culture's devaluation of education compounds this. Academic achievement is condemned as acting white, leading to relentless bullying of high achievers. Affirmative action harms those it claims to help. Thomas Sowell found that Black students admitted through these policies were academically mismatched with institutions beyond their preparation. Yet Blacks achieved more economic progress in the decades before affirmative action. Our success in sports and music, where LeBron James wasn't given extra points and Stevie Wonder wasn't given bonus Grammy votes, proves that merit, not handouts, produces Black greatness. Dr. Ben Carson was raised by an illiterate single mother in 1960s Detroit. Initially labeled a dummy in predominantly white schools, his fortunes changed when his mother, working multiple jobs as a domestic worker, implemented strict rules, limited television, and weekly book reports. Carson's grades soared. Despite racist comments from teachers, he refused bitterness and used these experiences as fuel. He graduated third in his class, attended Yale, and became a world-renowned pediatric neurosurgeon. At the 2013 National Prayer Breakfast, Carson credited his success to his mother's refusal to accept excuses. If we ever came up with an excuse, she always said, "Do you have a brain?" And if the answer was yes, then she said, "You could have thought your way out of it." Through reading, Carson discovered that the person who has the most to do with you and what happens to you in life is you. Every Black success story carries the same wisdom. There is no substitute for hard work. Tyler Perry built a 330-acre movie studio outside Atlanta with only a GED. At the 2019 BET Awards, he declared, "While everybody was fighting for a seat at the table and talking about #OscarSoWhite, I'll be down in Atlanta building my own." Booker T. Washington's National Negro Business League understood that, at the bottom of education, politics, even religion itself, there must be for our race economic foundation, economic prosperity, economic independence. In a world profiting from Black victimhood, choosing personal responsibility becomes revolutionary. Media narratives of helplessness contradict reality. Research shows police officers are 18.5 times more likely to be killed by Black males than unarmed Black males are to be killed by police. Of 2,925 Blacks killed in 2018, 2,600 were killed by other Blacks, only 234 by whites. Democrats court Black votes with promises of free stuff, but handouts are painkillers for cancer. They mask symptoms without solving fundamental problems. When LBJ suggested freedom wasn't enough after the Civil Rights Act, he implied Black Americans needed white help, assuming inferiority. The question isn't whether America has been perfect, it's whether we define ourselves by past oppression or future possibility. Will we choose victimhood or victorhood? The most dangerous plantation isn't built with chains. It's built with dependency, excuses, and the comfortable lie that someone else controls our success. True freedom begins when we reject that lie.